Okay, so welcome to the Ignite My Summer series. As Gary said, obviously I'm Ben, I'm a member of the leadership team here, and I have just completed the Ignite course. I'm going to be followed this summer by a few of my co-igniters who are going to be sharing what God's put on their heart. And so I kind of wanted to start that off and kind of frame it in a way, really, and just get us started on the right note with that. What I want to talk to you about today may seem obvious, and it may be something that we take for granted, but I still think it's worth us stopping and taking a look at in a bit more detail. But before I start, I want you to turn to the person next to you and get into two or threes, and just really briefly, just think about something either that God's had on your heart for a while, about something that you think, feel, hope, or God is calling you to try, to do, to step into, explore, or start, or even finish. So just very briefly, something that is on your heart at the moment that you feel like God's got there for you and you're kind of thinking about at the moment. So what I'm going to be speaking about is about choosing a step out to be bold, to build momentum, and allow God to work with that momentum and guide us. And we all have opportunities to step out of our comfort zones. And I just want to share some of the examples that I can see in my own life, and also biblical ones as well, and just reflect on how that impacts on our day-to-day life. After I finish talking to you, what happens then? And this has been a theme that's been bubbling under the surface for me as I've gone through the Ignite course. Ignite's been a great opportunity to consider what I already knew from new perspectives, to fill some gaps in the knowledge that I didn't, that I did or didn't have, but also to grow. But more than anything underneath has been that bubbling realization that I need to be actively participating in what God's teaching me. I can't just sit there and listen to this and not do anything about it. And like I say, my desire to grow was there, and that's why I was on the course. And so there's a slide that hopefully you'll all be familiar with, that Kerry shared with us before. And it's about us traveling along that journey from the point where we start to explore Jesus right up until when we're right there and he's everything that, in our lives. Everything we do goes through him. So how do we move along that? How do we progress from, the left to the right there? Well, there's lots of theory and revelation and head knowledge and things that help us progress. But at some point, we have to be bold and we have to take a step to move from one stone to the next, or from, one thing to the next in our life, to do something different in order to change our behavior, situation, improve our spiritual health. Now, when I was preparing my talk, obviously we spent some time praying, and God prompted me to have a look back through my journey to this point. And there were some key things that stood out for me that were, he prompted me to share because they were really relevant. And the first one of those may seem, again, very, very obvious, but me choosing to be baptized. That was a turning point in my faith journey. But I can remember actually walking along the road with Mark Middleton, and I was wrestling with this idea of, oh, baptism, why I'm not ready, We have this tendency to want to get things in all our ducks lined up in a row, to tick all these boxes, and then I'll be ready to do this. And I was wrestling with these reasons that were stopping me from doing it. It's that temptation, like I say, to feel like we need all these things in a row. But then the realization was there for me that, what does ready look like? When are we ready? There's no magic formula for being ready. What am I waiting for? Some light bulb moment, suddenly I'm going to appear and this is going to happen. What was I waiting for? And these are key points and questions that we need to consider when we make any kind of decision, really, is there's that temptation to have a default response of, spot the typo, or, I couldn't do that yet. I'm not tall enough, thin enough, brave enough, strong enough, clever enough. I don't know enough. I'm not enough. But that's not true. And that's not what God says about us and thinks about us. Also missing off the bottom there. It's a choice and a step of faith. Was quite a revelation for me. It wasn't a case of me getting to a point where I'd done all the things I needed to do. It was a choice, and I needed to step out into that. And so, as I say, I did it. I got baptized, and it was a significant step in my faith journey. Because following my baptism, things picked up pretty quickly and then gathered momentum very fast. Not long afterwards, Kerry asked me to join the leadership team. And 2 years later, here we are. And so the second one of these was a key truth for my journey. Now, when Kerry had asked me to join the team, as you can imagine, I panicked a bit. Suddenly, having said yes, I thought, oh, suddenly that hits you about the weight of responsibility. And I thought, I need to know my Bible inside out, back to front, you know, be able to read it on my head and these sorts of things. I built this kind of vision of like a Stepford Wife kind of church leader who, you know, all these sort of, who's perfect really. And as I was at that time, if I was watching the television evening, I'd feel a bit guilty and I'd have to flick onto the God channel and see what was on. But it was worth it. I did learn some things, but one of the things that I did pick up was this truth, and it was a guy who was preaching at a conference, and some of you may have heard me tell this story before, but he was a pastor, and so he'd speak most weeks in his own church, but it was Father's Day this week, so he wasn't. So he's at home with his family, and they're going to church together, which is a bit of a novelty. And following his normal routine, he gets himself dressed, he gets himself ready, and he's downstairs, plenty of time, ready to go. And then, you know, he's waiting for the rest of them. Still quite relaxed and chilled. And then he hears the kids rumbling around upstairs, and they've tumbled down the stairs, and they're ready to go. So that's, you know, one more to go. The wife's upstairs, you know, we'll be there soon. And he's looking at his watch, and he's thinking, well, we're still good. And then time ticks on a little bit more, and he's still watching his watch, and he thinks, I'll just remind her what time we need to be there. And he got the response you'd expect. And so he waits a bit longer, and he's still looking at his watch, and he's now starting to panic. And in the end, he just says, there's no time. You just have to get in the car and get ready on the way. And he said, that's what God's saying to us. Just get in the car, and we'll get ready on the way. If we wait to be ready before we do everything, we'll never get anywhere. We'll never do anything. For me, that's one of the most amazing and reassuring truths that I've ever heard. And that was what I needed to hear at that point. God just wants us to get in the car and get ready on the way. Things, you know, the idea of the leadership team had never crossed my mind. But Kerry explained why she'd asked me, and I prayed about it, and I thought about it, and it felt right. And so I accepted. I knew it was something God had called me to do, but it was so intimidating. It was so utterly intimidating. I'm not Kerry, but the weight of the responsibility. Yeah, just Susan as well. but the key point being, God met me in that gap. He gave me that truth when I needed it. I made the step forward, and He met me. He reassured me, you know, I'm going to take you on. I'm going to help you do this. You're not on your own. And I couldn't do this. I couldn't do what I'm doing now. I couldn't be a part of the team if it wasn't for him meeting me on the way and getting me ready on the way. I feel so massively underqualified to be doing what I'm doing. But here I am. He wants to partner with us. It's not, you know, it's not just us on our own and, you know, hoping for a bit of inspiration. He wants to partner with us. He wants to be active in what we're doing. And God is a father in every sense. He goes through the same things that we do as parents or aunts or uncles or what have you. You want your kids to do the right, you know, do things and do things well, and they need to learn things. And if they're trying to learn something new, like trying to tie their shoelaces or something like that, you can show them, but then they have to go away and they have to do it themselves. You have to give them some space to go and make some decisions and try some things for themselves. You can nudge them on the way and kind of kick them back onto the right path or, you know, stop them hurting themselves, but they do need that space to be able to go away and do it themselves. Just like God is with us. And so, what does this look like on Monday morning? You know, you go away and have lunch this afternoon, it's a nice sunny day, and you're back at work or doing whatever you do on a Monday. What does this look like? I just wanted to suggest three things that I think it's worth us focusing on, really. One of them is how we pray. Now, there's a temptation for us to be really kind of you can take a seat back and think, right, I'm praying about this, this is okay. And you're just praying that God would sort things out for you, that this will happen and he'll make this happen and you won't have to do anything about it. And that's not necessarily what we're thinking at the time, but that's really, you know, kind of can be what we're doing. We just think, oh, I'll pray about it, I've ticked that box, it's okay. But sometimes we need to be a bit more proactive about that. We can be too neutral or passive, but I want to propose that maybe sometimes it should be something more along the lines of we make a decision and we pray into it and we ask God to come with us on that journey. You say, right, I've prayed around this and I think this is the way you want me to go. But I'm not saying we chop God out of this equation. We involve him and we say, I'm going this way and I want you to come with me. And if I'm making a mistake, I want a clear sign from you. I want something to nudge me back onto the path or something obvious that says, no, you're going the wrong way. You've missed what I've told you. You've missed what I'm saying to you. And I thought there were some parallels really here with Gideon. Now he in Judges 6, he has to respond in faith. God comes to him, you know, in the form of an angel, and he says, and he calls him mighty warrior, and says he's going to save Israel, basically. And obviously Gideon's just like, are you sure you got the right person? Because that doesn't sound like me at all. And obviously that they go through the different parts, and God reassures him, but then he gives him direction and says, right, I want you to go and do this now. I want you to go and chop down that Asherah fertility pole, and I want you to tear down that altar to Baal, these false idols that they're worshipping at the time. Israel are in serious kind of trouble, really. And so it's a big thing to ask him to do. But Gideon does it. He goes and he bottles it a little bit because he does it at night, so no one else knows he's there doing it apart from the servants that are helping him. But he does it. And obviously it kicks off the next day. But again, God's there and they get through that. But the next step is God says, right, that massive army of Midianites, I want you to take them on and you're going to win. And again, he's like, ooh, hang on a minute. And the difference is here, he doesn't revert back to type and go, oh, no, no, I'm not your man. He says, okay, but I'm going to, you know, just to make sure I'm hearing you right and this is the right way to go and, you know, you're telling me the truth effectively, I guess, is, can I just do this? And he puts, you know, some, most of you hopefully will be aware of the story where he puts the fleece down in the wine press and asks God to make everything else, you know, make that wet and everything else be dry around it, and then does it again the opposite way around. And I don't see that there's any difference, or that I don't think there's anything wrong in us replicating that when we're doing things. And if it's good enough for Gideon, it's good enough for me. So, I can remember when I was made redundant, you know, obviously about 18 months, 2 years ago. And it had been a few months, and so, you know, we didn't have an unlimited amount of time for me to find a new job. And I went for an interview and very quickly got offered this job. And something just didn't add up. It didn't feel right. And so I prayed about it, and I wasn't sure, and it was a really kind of, it felt really counterintuitive. But I was like, I don't think this is right. I don't think this is the right job for me. And I was very mindful, I was on a journey with God at that time about me being proactive about the way I was praying about it. And I said, God, I'm not going to accept this job. But I'm aware that I'm on this journey with you and you're going to put this blessing in front of me and you will find a job for me. So if this is the right job, then I need a sign from you because I'm going to not accept it tomorrow. And so feeling really self-conscious and really silly, I waited for Sarah and the kids to go to bed. And I came back downstairs with a towel and I put it out on the patio. And I said, right, and I can't remember which way around it was. If you want me to accept this job, I want that to be wet and everything else to be dry or the other way around. And so I went to bed thinking, hope no one was watching. And I came back down in the morning and, you know, and there had been no signs. So I was like, right, not, I'm going to turn that down that job. And that's one of the most surreal conversations I've ever had with a recruiter. But sure enough, a week or two later, I went for another interview and I went and got this job and got offered this job that was a bit more money and it was much better. But the process that I've been through specifically around that job, God was in it every step of the way. And I started that job knowing that that was where I was meant to be. And it was so much better. And I felt so much more confident moving into that. So I'd taken that step and God had met me and he took me on to that next blessing that was there. Now God can work with us no matter how we act, but it's harder to get a static thing moving, especially if it doesn't want to move. Whereas if we can give him something that is moving already and has some momentum, then, you know, there's amazing what he can do. And just when I was walking past the prayer place earlier on, I saw one of the things on there is steam train. And that's really one of the things that's kind of, whenever I've thought about this analogy, is that thing. It's that who would want to try and stop a steam train that's up to full speed and going? There's nothing that's really going to get in the way of that. And it's that analogy of once we get going and once we're on the move, it's a lot easier for him to knock us onto the right path. And it's a lot harder for things to stop us. Now, God doesn't want us to sit and do nothing. In Proverbs, it says in there, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." And the key for me here is those first and last parts. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and he will make your path straight. He wants us to trust him to guide our steps. And I was looking at another translation, and then the Living Bible puts it this way: "In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success." It's not a case of us just getting through, just getting by. He's going to crown our efforts with success. We step into this, and there will be that blessing at the end of it. It's not just, "Oh, I've survived this thing." It's, "I'm moving on to bigger and better things." But we have to make that step first. He'll work with us no matter what the situation. If we make a mistake, that's okay, because he will work with that. But we need to have made that mistake for him to keep us moving and getting on to that next good thing. So point number two is, don't ask why, ask what. And again, the temptation is when we get into a situation and it's rubbish, let's put it, you know, be honest, things happen and it doesn't feel right. And you think, well, what did I do to deserve this? Why am I here? This just isn't fair. But where we have to be mindful of that is, what do we say? What do we do then? What we really should be saying is, what do you want me to do? What can I do for you, God, here? What do you want to reveal to me? And I really felt like there was a parallel with the story of Joseph here. So Joseph, Genesis 39, 1 to 5, it says, "After Joseph had been taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, Potiphar, an Egyptian, one of Pharaoh's officials and the manager of his household, bought him from them. As it turned out, God was with Joseph and things went very well for them. He ended up living in his home, the home of his Egyptian master." And this is the key part for me, and I think, again, that's cutting off some of the bottom. But it says, his master recognized that God was with him. Saw that God was working for good in everything he did. And then it goes on. But the key point here is, Joseph went into a situation, when you follow the whole story, okay, at the beginning he doesn't handle his brothers very well, and you probably would have done the same to him as they did. But after that point, you know, he gets placed in situations, and he could have quite easily said, "Why am I here? What were their dreams about, God? What, you know, this is rubbish." But he didn't. He did the best that he could with the situation he was in. He worked hard, you know, and that's why this point is key, where he says, they basically saw that God was working for good in everything he did, because he was doing things. And that's the key point there for me. We have a choice about whether we let our circumstances dictate our behavior, or we can take control and recognize them as an opportunity. It's got very big. There's an opportunity to grow. You know, we go through these things and we come out the other side a different person, whether we mean to or not. We get stronger from having gone through those things where we've stepped into the unknown. God's met us and we move on. We grow. And just as Joseph was, it's an opportunity to witness and reflect God to others. How we react in a situation is seen by other people. And if they know we're a Christian or not, if they don't know, they want to know why you're reacting the way you are. Why aren't you just sat there moping? Because by all rights, you know, most people would. And equally, it's an opportunity to receive blessing, because we go through that and then we step into the blessing after it. And so thirdly, to be bold and brave. Again, you probably remember a little while ago, Kerry doing her in a comfort zone and moving out of your comfort zone. And I thought this was quite funny when I saw it about this is your comfort zone, and that's where the magic happens. And I thought it was quite apt, really, because that's where we need to be. That's where we want to see not the magic, but, God happen. And inevitably, that's why I call it a comfort zone, because when we step out of it, it's probably going to be uncomfortable for a little while. But God, that's where God steps in. That's where God fills the gap, where he meets us and he partners with us and he works with us. He comforts us. He's our comforter and our partner in crime. Now, God's been revealing my true nature to me over the last 18 months or so. Again, since I was made redundant, it's a time, as most people, everybody who's been through it will know, a period of sort of self-analysis and exploring what I thought about myself and why I thought that, and what I could do or couldn't do, or I'd convince myself I couldn't do. I've realised that my caution is learned behaviour. It's built up over time, and it's been reinforced by the negative thoughts and experiences that I've had and the things that have been spoken over me, or the way that I've been treated. And it's fear, and it's the enemy using fear to hold us and keep us in that box and keep us locked down. And it stops us being who God wants us to be. But we have God on our side. Now, my children are revealing my nature to me, and as I'm sure they do to everybody, in good and bad ways. But my daughter Daisy, and anybody who knows her, probably Paul, taking her swimming, you know what she's like. She's a bit crazy. She's just fearless, and she just cracks into things and doesn't worry about it. She's up in the face of dogs, and swimming is just a nightmare with her. But my parents were looking after them both recently, and it was a nice hot sunny day, so the paddling pool was out and the sprinkler was out, and Daisy was just doing laps through the sprinkler, crashing into the paddling pool, splashing, diving underneath, swimming around, annoying Noah, just being nuts. And my mum and dad were telling us this story, and they were like, "She's just like you when you were a baby." And I was like, "Ooh, well, why should that be a surprise to me? Because if I was like that then, surely I should be like that now." But the reality is that over time, things have made me cautious and made me lose confidence in myself. They made me doubt my ability and stop me taking risks. When I think back, I remember, and my dad's right, I can remember us being on holiday in Spain, and I was probably about 4 or 5, I think, and me and my brother in the paddling pool, and everything's fine. And then suddenly mum and dad look up and I've disappeared. And they find me, or see me, coming to the front of a line. And this line is a diving lesson. And the context is here, I couldn't swim at the time. And so my dad charged in, dived in, swam across the swimming pool, just in time to hoik me out of the water and say to the guy, "He can't swim." But I was so determined to finish it off, and so fearless at the time, that he had to stay there on the side and keep pulling me out every time I jumped in because I wanted to finish this diving lesson. And for me, it's about going back to that point where I'm learning to dive before I can swim. I just have to, I have to start taking steps into things and getting ready for it on the way. And the week we got back, obviously, I started having swimming lessons because they couldn't let me just jump into swimming pools. And so I got ready on the way. I learned to dive and I was in the water, so now I had to learn to swim. And in thinking about that, I kind of realized that seeing that as my dad's like God in that situation where he's the one pulling me out of the water. Until I'm ready to go, he keeps pulling me back out and keeping me going until I get to the point where I can swim. So, hopefully, God's got a grander vision than we ever could have. He knows how to handle me and what I need. So take speaking today. He's made that transition smoother for me and helped me prepare. But I had to say yes and step out of my comfort zone for that to be the case. Before I went to Albania on the trip for Ignite, John Richards, who was leading it, said to me, "We're going to be going into a prison one of the days, and I want you to speak when we're in there." And there's that moment where there's that, I've got an opportunity to respond to this. And my spirit and my heart went, yes. And then my head kicked in and went, what are you doing? It's a prison. You've never been in a prison. And you're going to be doing this through an interpreter. When have you ever done that before? Are you crazy? But in the meantime, I'd said yes. And over the, you know, over the weeks that followed, my head caught up and I prepared and I was like, well, I can do this. And then the night before we went to go to the prison, John came back to me and he said, I've had a word from God and I think there's a word that he wants me to share in the prison. So I need you to change what you were going to do. And I'm like, hang on a minute. And by nature, I like to have my ducks in a row. Like I said before, I want to be able to be planning. So the night before isn't really a good time for me to be kind of thinking, oh, well, what shall I say tomorrow instead? But God, again, God met me in that. He helped me to reshape what I was going to say and make it work. And so, you know, we did that. We went to the prison and it went fairly well and it was all good. It was a great experience. My battle, as I say, is often to listen and act out of my heart and Holy Spirit prompting rather than before I can let my brain talk me out of things. But that works both ways. It's not just a case of always head versus heart, you know, in that direction. Things quite often make sense to us, but we can't commit to them because there's an emotive thing, you know, that says, I don't want you to do that. And I'm capable. And on occasions, but on occasions like today, I can't afford to work out of my head knowledge and that sort of thing. I have to work out of my connection with the Holy Spirit. So going back to Albania, in the end, it wasn't as demanding as what I would have had to do originally. It was a lot shorter. But I'd put the groundwork in and I'd responded. And I think God recognized that response and effort, but he knew it was a step too far for me in that situation and for the first time. It was still demanding and intimidating, but with his help, I did it. And then foolishly, I thought, that's it. I'm done for the trip now. I've done my bit. I can now support the others and I can experience whatever we go through, and that's great. And John then proceeded to come to me and say, do you know what, that meeting on Saturday evening, the main meeting when we're up in Fushkraya, up in the mountains, I want you to speak in that meeting. I want you to just do the main talk. And I was like, ooh. I'm not at home. I don't have the books that I would normally refer to. We didn't really have internet access. I didn't have my laptop. I had my iPad, and I didn't have the people that I would normally bounce it off. Like, you know, I met with Kerry before I did this to talk things through. I was like, oh, I'm not sure. But I'd sort of said yes. And again, that's where God really, really met me in that. I mean, if I wasn't going to say yes to that while I was on a mission trip, then I don't know where I was going to say yes to it. But he put me in that situation where I had to rely on him and I had to rely on the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't just revert back to the type and rely on myself and my understanding to get through. And hopefully you can see there's a pattern evolving here. When we step out in faith, God meets us and we make progress. It doesn't necessarily make sense for us to make that step and it feels uncomfortable quite often. But we're not doing it on our own. We achieve results together. And so I spoke in that meeting. I'm not for one second claiming it was the best message they'd ever heard, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't the worst. But it was what God put on my heart, and they responded at the end. And so fast forward to today, and again, I'm not claiming for this to be groundbreaking stuff that you're hearing, but it's what God's put on my heart. And I didn't expect to be doing this 6 months ago. The small steps and yeses that I've said have made the changes in the process along the way. They made me feel a bit more comfortable doing it, and hopefully along the way it's helped some people. And we don't know what God's plan is for us, so we don't know what the impact of saying yes or no to opportunities now has on that, and what the experience will be like without the smaller steps along the way. He's more than capable of getting us to that point. But we probably have more say in how and when we get there than we think. Now, this is applicable to all of us. If this is your first time in church, you're already living this out by being here, but you need to keep making those steps along the way. Or if you've been a Christian for a million years, there's still things that God has to reveal to you. There's still things he wants you to do or experience, But at some point, we have to take a step out into them. So, what's the plan? You finished talking, Ben. What are we going to do next week? Well, don't wait to be ready. Because if you do, you inevitably probably won't be before you have to do what you need to do. Be proactive in your prayer life. Start making some decisions and then take God with you. Don't wait for him to fix everything. Trust him. You can trust him. You can test him. Don't ask why, ask what. In those situations where you find that it's not fair and it's not nice, try really hard to ask what, not why. Embrace the opportunity, because they are opportunities. And we got burgled recently, and Chris Green said a really good word for us on the way over to our house when he was praying with us, and he said, I just feel God saying, this is an opportunity for victory. And it was all about us not wallowing in it and feeling a victim. It was an opportunity to go, do you know what? It could have been a lot worse. Let's crack on. Focus on the truth. You know, all of us have been impacted by our lives up to this point. Negative things happen and they make us think things about ourselves and other people and situations. But focus on the truth and get through the other side of it and concentrate on God. Be bold and brave. And there's nothing anyone else can do for you, really, to help you with that. That comes down to you and making that decision and just going with it and jumping and trusting that God's going to be there. So, let's go back to the thing that you spoke about with your partner right at the beginning there, that thing that God had put on your heart or that you thought was something you needed to step into. Now, I just want to pray over us for that now and kind of half challenge you about it to say, what are you going to do about that this week? Are you going to take that step and start, well, no matter how small that thing is or how big it is, are you going to make a step towards the solution or are you actually going to do whatever it was? So if you want to just bow your heads now and we'll pray about that and in close. Yeah, Lord, we thank you that we are able to meet like this today, that we're able to share these experiences with each other, and that you are interested in us, that you want to partner with us, that you want us to be actively pursuing the things you have for us because they're good things. And I just pray that as we go out this week and we start taking steps, no matter how tentative, towards the thing that you've put on our hearts now, that we would tangibly experience you, that we would feel your presence, that we would see progress as we make steps forward, and that it would just build that momentum, that we would be that steam train, and that we would achieve the success that we're looking for in that thing, and that that would be a testimony that we can share about you and your faithfulness and your goodness and how you met us in that. And it will just lead us and have a cascade effect on to the next thing. And the things you keep putting on our heart, we would continue to keep stepping into. Yeah, so I look forward to hearing about those things, Lord. And we just claim that in your name. Amen. So please, this week, do try and do that. Be mindful of it and go away and just try that up one small thing. And then as the rest of the guys from the Ignite team come and speak to you this week, go into them with that mentality about taking on board what they're saying and stepping into it. Thank you.
Come on, how fantastic was that? Wasn't that great? Isn't that amazing? Ben, thank you very much. You've got the job.